Welcome to episode 100 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution, Coronation Street. I'm Michael.
And I'm Gemma.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 9th and the 13th of June 2014.
Friday the 13th, is it really a good time to recording our 100th episode?
Don't know, I hope so. Yeah, it's Friday now, we're recording a bit of it Saturday, but it'll all be seamlessly put together
for the 100th episode.
We're not even recording it in the right order.
I'm confused.
100 episodes.
You're overwhelmed with the emotion.
Would you like to make
a short speech?
Yeah.
When we first began this podcast, I had no idea that we'd do 100 of them. I am shocked.
Me too.
Actually, I'm not, because you're in charge, so of course we're going to continue forever.
Continue forever.
But it's been me that's been in charge of this. We've stopped about three episodes in.
No, don't say that.
No, yeah, because you know what I'm like. I give up on things. I can't be bothered.
But it's an achievement.
Michael is...
We both feel very proud.
Michael is a very, dedicated individual. That's why he's still a teacher.
Yeah, I'm a big nerd, basically.
But we both have fun doing them. And so we've done 100 now. So I think we've got 900 left for our 1,000th one. Then we can stop.
Yeah, we'll stop at 1,000 if we're still going. We'll see. But yeah, first off, we want to say a big thank you to Joe, our listener Joe, who's at PickledJoe on Twitter, who
sent us some... PickledJoe with only one O and no E.
Yes, because she's a girl. She sent us some awesome artwork, which we should be using as the cover for this episode if it all goes to plan. It was cool. On Wednesday, I think it was, it popped onto our Facebook. She's
a very talented artist.
Yeah, we mentioned her before on the podcast, I think, haven't we? She does loads of awesome caricatures of Coronation Street stars and other people, but we've seen all the Corrie ones. Yeah, she did a little caricature of me and Gemma.
Oh, I was wearing my yellow coat.
Yes, yeah, so it's like when we went to see the Corrie.
It's like real life.
Yes, that was really,
like
really
a photo.
Brilliant. Our first piece of fan art.
Yeah, brilliant.
It was really good. So thank you, Joe. I know you're going to be listening to this. We thought it was amazing. We very, very appreciate it.
Yeah, we were really chuffed with that. That was a good Wednesday.
Yeah. So this episode is going to be a little bit different, as it's our 100th one. We're still going to have Corrie history. We're going to have a little bit of street talk, but it's going to be...
Abbreviated
version of what happened for the people that listen for the rundown of what happened on the street. But we're going to be joined by some of our listeners as guests who are...
Special guest stars.
Yeah, then we're going to talk about what we've all thought about this week's episodes. We're then going to move on and do not a character profile, but a pub quiz. The Rovers Coronation Street Conversation Street pub quiz with some...
The longest title for any quiz I've heard of in my life.
Tibor has sent us some questions, and we've got three other listeners who we're going to be quizzing to see who... there's no prize or anything.
Only
just
your
for fun.
Reputation. That's
but
why
hopefully,
I'm not doing it.
Hopefully you'll enjoy it and you'll be able to play along at home as well. And Tibor is known for being a
stickler?
No, she knows a lot of stuff about Coronation Street, so these questions should be some good ones. There are some hard ones, there are some easy ones, so that should be quite fun. We'll be doing a little bit of news, not that there's been very much this week.
I've got some amazing news.
What?
I'm not going to say.
Well, wait until the end. Okay. And then we'll finish off with some of your lovely feedback where you've said well done
nice
for
things
us
about her.
For 100th episode.
It's our favourite sort of feedback.
Yeah. So let's get on with Coronation Street history this week then.
Yes, it's been a great week in Corrie history. It's been 90 years since Maggie Clegg was born.
Yeah, that is Betty's sister.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's been 50 years since Leonard Swindley accepted Emily Bishop's marriage proposal.
Yeah, Emily Bishop, because Leonard Swindley was it was Arthur Lowe, wasn't it, who's Dad's army mister, uh-huh. And he was her boss. And she proposed to him. I think
modern.
Yeah, but they didn't actually really love each other. They kind of thought that they should be going out because they... Well, no, they were barely even dating. I don't even think they were even dating. They still called each other by their first names. He would call her Miss Nugent, and he called her, and she called him Mr. Swindley. So it was never really
what a strange
perfect
time it
romance.
Was.
But yeah, that didn't go anywhere, let's say.
Oh well.
30 years ago, since the first appearance of Debbie Webster, Kevin's sister. Whatever happened to her? Who knows? And
lives in a ditch.
10 years ago this week, Charlie Stubbs slept with Bev.
Boo.
Bev Unwin,
boo.
Mother of girlfriend Shelley. Because Shelley had gone out with Sunita instead of going out with him for the evening.
Boo, so Sunita,
he got her back by sleeping with her mum.
That's what I do when you leave me at home.
But because Charlie...
I sleep with your mum. Carry on.
Yeah. Bev was a bit guilty about this, obviously. She confessed all to Shelley, but because Charlie was such an evil manipulator, he managed to convince Shelley that Bev was making it all up, and Shelley threw Bev out.
Wow. I didn't turn up.
He got his comeuppance. I saw him on Emmerdale today. I turned on ready to get Coronation Street watching, and Charlie Stubbs was there crying some greying old woman.
Oh dear.
Back from the dead. And of course, this week it's been Ryan Thomas's 30th birthday. He's had some party pictures on Twitter. So happy birthday to Ryan Thomas, who plays Jason.
That's not important though, because it's 100th episode.
I know, 100th, being 30th at Trump's.
Nowhere near 100.
That's going to always be confusing for me, because I know that Jason's birthday, Jason is like 5 days older than me, but Ryan Thomas. No, Jason is 5 years younger than me, but Ryan Thomas is much younger than me, almost a year younger than me.
I thought you were going to say he was older than you, as though you were actually 29.
No.
I was going to reveal everything.
So, that was Corrie History this week. Let's get on and try some street talk.
Let's try to condense it.
Yeah, let's try.
It's street talk. We've got 5 different things that happened this week. Weren't as exciting as last week, but...
No, I think this week was like the inevitable lull.
Coming down.
Yeah, coming down after Tina's death.
And excitement.
Yeah, and it was just kind of a normal week this week. But the main storyline was the feeling violated, because things were still quite on edge in the Windass-Armstrong household this week. We did have a bit more of the blood orange, didn't we, with all the interviews and whatever. Sally and Tim's engagement story, the diamond and the rough, we called it last week. That had a bit of an amusing conclusion.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go anywhere after this.
We just had a bit of sleazy old Todd and Gormless Marcus.
Yeah.
Which I'm calling sleazy Todd and Gormless Marcus.
No, we didn't even think of a title for that one, actually, did we? But that fits it quite well.
Dumb and Dumber.
And yeah, it's like tiny bit of Andrea's... mischievousness as well, didn't we?
She's such a
That's obviously going to be a big part of next week's, I think.
Do you think
so? Yes. So we're just doing a quick rundown of the plot this week, and before we invite our special guests on. So on our Feeling Violated, it was all to do with Owen getting back from Aberdeen, and we thought that his time above the border would have cooled him down a little bit, or possibly, but he's come back just as grumpy as ever, and he's determined to tell Anna what he thinks of her, basically. Gary had organised this family meal at the bistro, because he was the only one, I think, in the family that doesn't know why him and Faye, obviously. So we had this very tense meal between them. Was that Monday's episode, I think? And then the rest of the week, it's about him possibly getting a job, this building contract, which he had an interview for today. There was a nice little scuffle between Owen and Gary at the end of Wednesday's episode, because what was it over? It was just Gary kind of getting fed up of Owen being grumpy, wasn't it? And not.
Well, Gary gave Faye some money, and then took her to skating, and then brought her back drunk and tried to hide it. And Owen got annoyed because he was basically felt like Gary was taking everything.
Owen was kind of jealous that he even had a job interview, I think, didn't they? And then Friday's episode, it was kind of them kind of making up. Well, Owen wanted to make up, but then it all turned...
Well, Gary and Owen both wanted to make up, but unfortunately it turned nasty, didn't it?
Yeah, it was Owen, he just couldn't... can deal with the fact that of what Anna's done with Phelan, and then he goes and reveals it all.
Yeah, because Gary's annoyed because he didn't get the job because of his black eye.
Yeah, no, because he's ginger.
Owen was annoyed because he's Owen, and then Owen and Gary and Anna are all sort of having an argument, and Gary tells Owen, stop slagging off my mum, and Owen says, oh, slagging? Oh no, Anna is the hero of the hour.
The hero of slagging.
And then he says, your mum paid him off the only way she knew how. She took one for the team.
Yeah.
And tells Gary that Anna slept with Phelan. And Anna's completely devastated, but Gary's actually really lovely, and he gives her a hug, and she cries in his arms. And then I think Anna realises that Owen should have done this from the start. And
that was the response that she wanted from Owen.
Yeah. So she basically tells Owen, we're over. we're over, we can't be together anymore. And Owen says, oh, I could learn to forgive you.
Yeah, he suddenly says, oh, but I don't want to lose you. He completely, because all week he'd been acting like it was over between them.
I think he just wanted to push her as far as she, to punish her as far as he could, and he pushed it too far.
Yeah.
But she kicks him out with his bags, and that's the end of that.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about that when we come to our guest spot later. So in the Blood Orange storyline, Tina is still dead, she's not come back. Mondays was all about Michelle and Steve mostly, wasn't it? Because he's still in the doghouse with Michelle for keeping
the secret
affair from her, and he just spends Monday grovelling to her.
Well, Carla eventually tells Michelle, just forgive him, because it's, you know, what's the point of holding a grudge? And Steve tells Lloyd later that he'll do anything to get back with Michelle, which is a bit stupid, because what's the point? Michelle eventually says she doesn't completely forgive him, but she doesn't want to split up with him, so she's going to hold it over his head.
Yeah, so they're all back together again now, grown. And then we had Peter turning up at the factory on Monday as well, didn't we? He was he seemed pretty sober, and he's just determined to like get on with work as normal. So he was making things pretty difficult for Carla.
I think it was just a power play to show that he still owns 50% of the factory.
Yeah, and then we had that cool Carla and Roy scene as well, didn't we? Because Roy turned up and he helped Peter to, well, he kind of made Peter leave, didn't he? It was a bit like the other week when they're outside the Rovers.
We had a new development on Wednesday when Tina's mum came into the cafe to find Rita, because she knows that Tina and Rita were very close.
Unlike to her, Tina and her own mum, who doesn't seem to know anything about her.
No, she spends the rest of the week telling people that she wants to have a funeral, but she doesn't really know very much about what Tina would want.
Yeah, oh, I read something interesting on Corripedia about Tina's mum earlier today. Her name is Anne, but when she was in it before, because she was in it for like one episode in 2008, she was called Anna, but they refer to her as Anne now, so that it doesn't get confused with Anna Windass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see? There you go. But,
Can't have two people with the same name.
No, it'd be too confusing. So she was just kind of been pretty miserable, wasn't she? But you know, her daughter's dead, so you can confuse it. I think she was just like feeling guilty mostly that she didn't have a much of a relationship with her daughter.
Well, speaking of guilty, Rob is slowly going mad, because he ends up shouting at Michelle when she tries to get Carla to help her out with an order, and says, oh, you're being insensitive, nothing else matters except the fact that someone's dead, and then he flounces off. And he also goes up to Anne in the pub and tells her he's very sorry that Tina died. He actually says, I want to apologise, which is a very formal way of telling someone that you killed their daughter. And
offers her money,
money and help for the funeral, and then walks off.
Nobody seems suspicious
Rita
of him yet,
strangely.
Rita doesn't
seem to think this is weird, and she just says, oh, it just goes to prove how much we all love Tina.
That's because Rita's used to throwing money at people.
Yeah. So, on Friday, the police come around to the factory, take Carla off for another interview. She doesn't do herself any favours, because she tells them she wanted to wipe Tina off the face of the earth, but she didn't kill the bitch. And eventually they said, right, we've cross-checked something, you're free to leave, but we can't rule out needing to get you at another point.
Yeah, and that seemed to be a definite change in mood of that female police officer, didn't there?
Because she seemed
During the interview, she seemed certain that Carla had done it, or she knew something, but when they let her go, she's a bit more apologetic.
Like she typed something into the computer and the computer went,
not guilty.
Yeah, exactly. So she doesn't react very well to this, though. She thinks she's in trouble and they're going to stitch her up. She tells Rob at the very end that she thinks the police think she did it. But before that part, she completely blows up at the factory and ends up getting a buyer to call off a deal by insulting him and calling him a ghoul and a vulture, I think.
But he wasn't. He was just trying to be supportive. He was quite nice, really, wasn't he?
And she just shouts at him, and then she walks off to the Rovers and gets drunk.
Yeah,
and
so they've lost the deal. And then she goes and has a face-off with Tina's mum as well.
Yeah.
So things aren't looking good for Carla at the moment.
She's still going mad.
Yeah. At least we had the comedy of Tim and Sally this week to counterbalance the drama and the sadness of the other storylines. So it's what happened last week was... Oh, the Friday's episode was when they kind of ended up proposing to each other, didn't it?
Yeah, and then Tim wonders whether Sally's having second thoughts. So he goes off to Barlow's boys to get an engagement ring.
That was quite a funny scene.
According to Tracy's advice, gives her to it in Roy's, and she says, "What is it?" When she opens, the box. Sophie sees them with the ring and she's happy. She's come back from Devon for some reason without Maddie. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, Maddie. I think Maddie's just staying on with Ben for a bit. I mean, Sophie does have a job up in Weatherfield, doesn't she?
And Sally admits to Sophie that she's not actually that keen on the engagement.
Well, Sophie's not either. I mean, she acts happy when Tim's there, but as soon as Tim's gone, she's like, "Mum, what are you doing?"
Yeah, and she's even more annoyed with Sally on Wednesday when she starts lying to Tim and saying that she likes opera because she's multicultural. and Sally says, "Look, Sophie says, why are you lying to him? Just be honest with him, especially about this whole engagement thing." And she says, "Look, no, I can't hold in saying anymore. I'm going to tell him tonight when we have dinner." But when he comes in, he brings her an opera DVD. And Sophie starts acting smarmy and rubs it in that she doesn't actually like opera in a way that Tim doesn't really pick up on. And she says something like, "Oh, don't you have something to say to Tim?" And she says, "Oh, I can't wait to get married."
Yeah.
On Friday, it all falls to pieces when an engagement party is planned. Well, Julie kind
over of... By an over-enthusiastic Julie.
It's hardly surprising that she's wholeheartedly for this relationship, even though she knows that Sally's not that keen.
Yeah. Yeah, she convinces Tim to put on a party, but then before it even happens, Sally and Tim realise that actually neither of them are that keen on the wedding.
Well, yeah, Sally says, "I'm only getting married because of you," and Tim says, "Well, I'm only getting married because of you." And she says, "Oh, I was only trying to be polite." And then they go to this this party that Julie's organised and unpropose.
That was quite funny. That's you said that earlier that that's going to be a scene that they're going to put on clip shows probably in the future.
So. Julie plays the birdie dance by accident. Tim goes down on one knee and takes Sally's ring. And she says, "Oh, I'm quite happy to be living in sin. I couldn't be happier." Yeah.
So that seemed to just be a tight little storyline, 2 week storyline to just cement that they are committed to each other, but they don't want to get married because Sally says, who needs a piece of paper?
Who needs a piece of paper?
Yeah. With the Todd and Marcus stuff, there wasn't much, was there? It was just mostly Marcus fawning over Todd a little bit more and then telling him he loves him somehow.
He got completely drunk at the bistro and confessed his love. And Todd looks like the cat who got the cream. Marcus takes all week to reconfirm his love, and on Friday he says, "Yeah, I meant everything you said.
Also, I'll buy you a car.
And I'll buy us a car." So at the bar, for some reason, Tony is behind the bar.
Yeah, I think we missed the scene where he got a job.
Were we asleep? I don't know what happened.
He's obviously taken over for Tina, but I honestly don't remember that happening.
No, I don't remember that happening. Anyway, maybe behind the bar, when Todd is ordering drinks, and
which Marcus will pay for.
And he says, "Oh, you've got a keeper there." And Todd does his like villain laugh and curls his moustache and says, "Ha ha ha! No, he's not a keeper. I'm just rinsing
for everything
he's got."
He doesn't even try to hide it. I mean, why does he trust Tony so much? It's a bit of a risky,
ridiculous,
very big risk.
Scene. What's the point?
Maybe Todd is like recognizes that Tony is secretly a bit of a wronger.
Maybe. So
the baddie's code.
That was that storyline, and then
Marcus.
Finally Beckett beckons. Jenna and Lloyd, Jenna and Andrea sort of having a superfood diet face-off on Monday to prove who loves him the most. And then on Friday, Jenna's worried because Lloyd has to go back to work. Andrea's acting suspicious and saying she's got to do overtime. Jenna suggests Lloyd goes on a holiday before he leaves for work. And Andrea backs out of going with him.
Yeah, and so he's now going on holiday with Jenna, so we assume that Andrea's going to be up to no good while he's away. Because she, like you said, she is very suspicious at the
moment.
Very
suspicious.
So that was a very quick rundown about what happened on the street. I think it's time we got some guests in to have a chat about what we thought about it.
Woo.
Okay, here they are.
Put the kettle on.
Okay, so we're joined now by Rob from Lincoln and Jules, who's calling from the USA. Hi guys, how you doing?
Hi,
hello.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Nice to hear you. Nice to speak to you. So before we start talking about this week's curry, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself? Rob, tell us about yourself first and your curry watching habits.
Okay, well, I'm 26, so I've been watching curry pretty much my entire life, you know, as you do growing up with my family, watching all that throughout my entire life. You know, even though as a kid, I think you find soap operas a little bit boring because they're on all the time. But even as a young kid, I remember being like really, really kind of interested by everything Corrie was saying and everything Corrie was doing. These days, I've been trying, I'm trying to get into TV script writing. It's actually kind of like my aspiration to be a script writer for Coronation Street. So that's what I'm aiming for.
Brilliant.
Does that mean you won't be able to talk to us anymore, though? Because you'll know.
Oh, I could be like your secret source.
Yeah,
that'd be good, wouldn't it? And then I could try and get you that, you know, that cameo part that you're always talking about, Gemma.
That'd be awesome. Excellent. Yeah, just write someone in who's exactly like us. And then
yeah, sorted.
You're spoiler free at the moment, though, aren't you, Rob?
Yeah, I'm managing it okay because I work in a shop at the minute. Like all the TV mags are like plastered all over the shop, so I knew that. It looked like Owen was going to punch Gary tonight. But that wasn't what happened at all. He just kind of pushed him into the spare banister.
He's got a black eye there, didn't he?
It was pathetic. But yeah, apart from like whatever gets plastered on the front of a TV mags, I am normally quite spoiler free, yeah. Which is so much better. I'm so glad that I started doing that because it's so much more interesting.
Yeah, it's just like how they did it in the old days, isn't it?
I know.
Old school Corrie.
Yeah.
Jules, tell us about yourself.
Hi, I live in Washington, D.C., and I've been watching for about 7 or 8 years. I went to Canada on a trip and kind of got interested in it when it was on the television, and then when I came back, I kept watching it. I found a way to keep watching it. So I think I've been watching since around the time where Leanne was kidnapped by Carla's husband, put in the trunk of the car. So I'm not 100% spoiler free. I read the blogs, but I'm not really exposed to the media. So I think that I'm spoiler free just because there's no one talking about it and it's not on the cover of the magazines. I was pretty surprised when I took a trip to London and there's big spoilers on the cover of magazines.
Yeah.
They don't really do that here.
Yeah.
They don't have soap magazines.
We have soap magazines, but they just sort of, I don't think that they talk about the plot lines on the cover, I think, bit. Yeah.
Sensible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, Jules, what's been your favourite story this week in Corrie?
Definitely Tim and Sally.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I
thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
It was really good.
That was cool. So I didn't know whether they'd end up getting married or not in the end, but I think the whole idea of this storyline was just to kind of cement the fact that they're okay as they are.
I thought it was so sweet at the end. I think it was actually even more romantic than if they had ended up getting engaged, you know, coming around to the fact that I actually liked each other. I think just the way that it played out was just, I was just so happy watching it.
Yeah, it was quite funny, the unproposal in the Rovers.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Yeah. And they just looked so happy.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that's the main thing, isn't it? I mean, do you think that that's it now? Or do you think that there's a possibility that they'll get married in the future?
I mean, I think that it would be weird if they had them getting married, you know, in a couple months. But, I mean, down the line, I'm really enjoying watching them. I mean, it'll be interesting when what's his face gets back. But I think for now, it's just nice to watch. I mean, maybe there'll be more stuff with Faye because Faye is probably going to be a little screwed up by what's happening next door. So that could always throw a wrench in things. But at least for now, for 3 days, they're going to be very happy.
Yeah. What do you make of them, those two, Rob, as a couple?
I absolutely love them. I think they're my favourite couple on the street at the minute. They're just so perfect. They just kind of complement each other really, really well. You know, they get compared to the Ogdens quite a lot, and I can see that.
Mm.
You know, they've got like, I mean, Sally is just like a perfect kind of ploy to Tim's kind of just laid back attitude. You know, it's got like a really kind of working class Hyacinth and Richard Bucket thing going on. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
The thing is, I really, really, really like Sally with other people. I think if you go back all the way back to when Kevin was with Alison there, that massive storyline there, and it showed. And Sally's had that thing with Greg. You know, it showed that they, as characters, they do work really well separately as well. They're more than capable of like becoming interesting and watchable characters when they're not together. And I think, to be honest with you, you know, if your husband went and had an affair, I mean, Kevin's done it loads of times, but if he went and had an affair and then had a kid, you would stay separate from him. You know, I personally don't want to see Sally and Kevin get back together. I think they work interestingly enough apart from each other, and I don't think it would be realistic if they got back together.
No, because, I mean, they split them up. It must have been 15, almost 20 years ago now when that Kevin's affair with Natalie Horrocks happened.
Oh, and, God, I feel old.
I know. And since then, they've been like, back and forth, because I think a lot of the viewers have wanted them to be back together. But now that she's found Tim, I think everyone's really, really happy with how that's ended up.
I hope so. Because, like I said, they are just so, so, so funny together. And I can't see Tim going off and having an affair. I hope he doesn't.
They don't make him into sort of one of these sleazy characters.
Well, I hope that they're not going to try it. Now Owen's kind of stepped out of the picture. I really hope that they're not going to put Anna and Tim together. That would be awful.
No, that would be awful.
I can imagine them being tempted to do that, though.
Which is the mother and father figure, and Faye would want something ideally to be together like that. But I just really hope it doesn't happen, because they're a fantastic couple. They're so funny. And I think The Street especially needs humour at the minute, because they've got quite a few dark storylines going on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can see Sally at least becoming jealous of Anna, possibly.
Mm.
Because he went around there for his dinner, didn't he, the other day, and she had to throw her lovely lasagna in the bin.
I know.
An overreaction.
Don't waste the lasagna. Lasagna's not the best food ever. Bad move, Sally.
I thought it was neat how there was a little bit of crossover between the two storylines. You know, like when the argument started and then they showed, which I thought was hysterical, Sally and Tim seamlessly transitioning to listening to it as if they do it all the time.
That was really good. Us up against the wall.
Like every night, this is what we do.
So she could use it. That was brilliant.
They don't often make very much of the fact that there are neighbours, do they? Because I often just think of the houses as being very, very separate entities. But to have things happening through the wall, it makes it feel a bit more real.
I think if they use that a bit more, there'd be a lot less murders on the street.
Probably. Neighbourhood watch through the...
It's all right, Tracy just dealt with that by turning the music up before she whacked Charlie over the head, didn't she?
Tracy's an expert. She knows what she's doing. She's a pro.
So what do you think Kevin's going to make of all this when he gets back then, whenever that is going to be?
Well, I don't think he's going to be happy, you know, and no doubt Tim's in for another black eye when Kevin gets back. But I think, I don't know, I think it's going to be, it depends on how Sophie feels about it, I think. I think she likes Tim and I think she's happy that they're together. And I think Sophie's kind of moved on from the fact that her mum and dad are split up, and she understands why they're split up. She knew that Kevin was in the wrong, and... You know, I think as long as Sophie keeps her gob shut, I think the two of them could work together quite well. But you know what soaps are like. Old couples, you know, they've always got that spark. So I hope that they don't put Kevin and Sally back together, because I think that, like I say, I think they both work so well individually as characters. They've both got their own facets that mean they're capable of coping without each other in terms of storyline. You could bring someone else into Kevin, you know, you could mess someone else's life up. It would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it'd be more interesting. I'm sorry. I think it'd be more interesting if they started getting along, because I think that would make Sally crazy too. And you could have storylines where she's just upset that they're on the same side.
Yeah, Tim and Kevin in the past
moment
about Sally and how
comparing notes.
Yeah, that would be funny.
I've not missed Kevin that much particularly. I thought I might do, but
I was really pleased when he came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he's missing anything that he's not there, and definitely Sally's much more interesting with Tim.
I wonder whether what he would make of the fact that the whole they're not engaged and they didn't want to get engaged. He could almost take that to mean like Sally's not completely committed to him, and then try and worm his way back that way.
He is definitely going to try and get back with Sally. There's no two ways about that. I think it's pretty, you know, I think it's probably quite an easy way for them to slot Kevin back into the show, you know, he sees, like you just said, that they're not wanting to get engaged properly and let that happen. He'll see that as an opportunity to get Sally back into bed, but I just hope it doesn't happen.
We'll see. So has that been your favourite story of the week as well, Rob?
Well, I think anything with Carla in this week has just been absolutely fantastic. Alison King has just swept the floor with anything that she's been given this week. I think she's amazing.
Yeah, she's been really good. She's got to get some awards for her performance in the last few weeks.
I voted for her.
let's move on to talking about that storyline then. So the week started off with Steve and Michelle trying to get back together after the whole...
Michelle needs to do one. I'm sick of her.
Couldn't agree more. She used this as an opportunity to get away from her, but unfortunately...
He played it completely wrong.
Yeah.
There was a point where she actually said, "How can I moan to you about all this?" and then immediately started moaning about it. It was without taking a breath.
I couldn't believe it when she was moaning at Carla about it. And she's like, she's just like the worst best friend in the world, isn't she? She's like...
It's like she was trying to kind of use splitting up with Steve as a justification about how good a friend she was to Carla.
Yeah. Oh, pay attention to me. I've done something really good for you. I'm your best friend. I dumped my boyfriend.
I think there's a reason why the forums call her Miss Hell.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not surprised. they're just not suited. It was great when Steve was with Karen. It was great when he was with Becky. I enjoyed both of those, and they were both feisty women, but they just, Michelle just is grumpy all the time with him and really belittles him.
Well, the thing is, she does, I don't think she suits the kind of, like, you know, when she was dragging him down the street by his ear, I don't think the character suits that kind of personality.
No.
She does have, you know, to completely have a...
She's a young, pretty woman, you know, who, you know, older partners, yeah, maybe that kind of thing could be quite funny to watch, but it doesn't suit Michelle because she's a young, attractive woman who wouldn't need to drag her husband down the street. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. I understand that they're probably trying to turn them into the next Duckworths or something, yeah, because they're both stuck in the Rovers, but it just doesn't wash with me. I don't buy it.
Yeah, it's funny when Vera was doing it because you knew that Jack was going reluctantly, whereas Steve's always going on about how much he fancies Michelle, and when she's terrible to him, it's just worse, isn't it?
Yeah.
I really wanted him to defend himself more, but I don't know.
Tried a little bit, but not very convincingly, I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if the shoe had been on the other foot, Michelle would have kept the secret for Carla's sake, if it had been Carla having an affair, I think.
Exactly. Steve should have said that a lot more, because she's a hypocrite. And I'm sorry, but standing there and like being completely dramatic, tears streaming down her face going, "Your voice. Your face, it makes me sick. Do one, love." No.
Yeah. But I mean, they all made up on Monday's episode, didn't they? And then it shifted back over to Carla again with all the interviews that she was in. Do the cops suspect her at the moment, do we think?
Well, I think it's either her or Peter, yeah, don't they?
Yeah, the idea of Rob hasn't been brought up by anyone.
I'm not happy about that, you know.
No?
No, I don't. Look, I'm sorry, but there has been no point. I know Rob hasn't done a lot, but there's been absolutely no point in Rob's character where it has been apparent that he will whack a young woman round the head with a lead piping at any point. If in my view, they've just done exactly the same as what they did to Carl. They had the writers clearly had absolutely no idea what to do with him, so they turned him into a murderer.
Yeah. And then the fact he pushed her over and it was accidental, and then he just kind of finished her off anyway, all for the sake of...
Yeah, what was that about?
Yeah, I think it would have been better if it was all accidental, because I was just starting to like him, because I kind of, sort of in a sick way, like him and Tracy. So yeah, then he's hard to like when he actually murders her, rather than just mistakenly murders her.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I was really, really, really starting to like Rob. And now they've just I think, you know, he's, you know, wants a character to kill somebody. Unless your name's Tracy Barlow, you're on a ticking time bomb from there on in. You're leaving at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe she gives him some sort of blanket immunity, and he'll find a way to stick around as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a lawyer on the case.
Yeah.
I always thought Rob was quite strange because he did bring him in as a villain, didn't they? And he was vile to Carla, but then I found he did get more likeable, but I can never forgive him for what he did to Carla.
No, you've got issues with that, haven't you, Joe?
I do. Carla's my girl. No, I think they did try to make him more likeable, which is even more strange.
Well, they put him on the straight and narrow, didn't they? Because he was always the one between him and Tracy that wanted that Barbara's buys to be all above board.
And now they've gone and had him bash the nation's sexiest soap star on the head.
Yeah,
she ain't sexy anymore.
No.
But he's acting so suspicious since it happened, and nobody's picking up on it. Like when he was offering to pay to give some money to Tina's mum.
What was that? Hello, yeah. I'm a random bystander. I'd love to pay for your daughter's funeral. I snogged her once. It was well good. So yeah, here's some money.
Yeah. So
it was kind of worth it to watch David then explain that relationship to Tina's mother. Oh,
that was funny. That was funny.
Awkward.
Tina's mother, who is probably one of the worst actresses that the show has ever seen. That was awful.
Yeah, I've not been too convinced yet by her performance, because it's kind of sitting there. I know she's had a loss, but she's just kind of sitting there moping and not particularly believable at the moment.
Where is she staying as well? Does she live in Manchester?
We know so little about the character because she
what's even her name?
Anne.
Anne, right, okay. She's probably living with Eileen or something, I don't know.
Everyone else does. Really.
There's something just off about her. Just strange. Like, she has this odd affect that maybe is going to be a character trait, or like you said, she's a terrible actress.
Yeah.
Well, didn't she used to be played by... I was reading somewhere that she used to be played by Casey Ainsworth, who used to play Little Mo in EastEnders, and she's a brilliant actress. So I don't understand why they wouldn't. And she's not doing a lot these days. You know, she was in Doctors a couple of months ago, apparently. So she's clearly, you know, looking for work. So why wouldn't they bring her back?
Yeah, no idea. I don't know. It's a bit of a mystery. It depends whether she's going to come back and be an important character and go on to be a part of kind of unraveling Rob as being the murderer, or whether she is just literally in for the funeral, then she's off again, like a token appearance.
It does seem pointless to have her in it at all, really. I think it's going to do something significant, but I'd rather that she didn't, because she's not been in it. So I don't really want her to uncover Rob, because it would be a bit of an anticlimax.
Yeah, Rita's the motherfucker for Tina.
Yeah.
Rita seems to have got over it quite quickly, I thought.
Yeah, she's in Venice now.
She's done.
Yeah.
Max Mutoffies.
Yeah.
So what about Peter at the moment then? What do you think his game is? Because he came into the factory kind of pretty sober on Monday or Wednesday, I can't remember. Do we think he's going to try and take it back over, because he does own 50% of it?
Well, I think he's terrifying.
Sorry, go on. I've been talking about it. You go on.
Oh, I was just gonna say he was terrifying. I mean, I thought that Chris Gascoigne was very good. It was so creepy the way he was like, "Are you going to keep me from my business? I have every right to be here." In that like kind of dead voice, like it was really awful. Like he's being terrible. It was really fun to watch.
If he wants people to think he murdered Tina, he's going about it the right way, isn't he?
Oh yeah. I mean, he just dead stare and just kind of like sort of threatening her to try to kick him out of the factory. Like it was, he's being terrible. I missed him. Now I miss him just drinking in the street.
Yeah, he's hiding vodka subtly under bus stops.
Yeah.
So how do we think this is going to play out then? Who's going to go down first, Carla or Peter, or is it going to be someone else?
I think for drama's sake, first it will be Carla, and then Rob will manage to convince the police that it was Peter, and then eventually, and then probably it will be Tracy, and then probably Deirdre will get locked up, and then eventually it will be Rob.
I wonder if Rob's going to say something to try to implicate Peter that then implicates himself. Like, magically finding the murder weapon. And
yeah, he might get desperate to protect Carla, and in doing so kind of just doesn't do it artfully enough.
Yeah. I think he thinks he's cleverer than he is.
Thank you. Sure.
yeah. But it's been a really great storyline over this past few weeks. I mean, it's calmed down a little bit since the last 2 weeks when Tina went over. But I'm certainly enjoying watching that at the moment.
Corey's good again.
Then did it.
Feel it. I thought didn't you want it to be Tony in the end?
Yeah, well, it could have been anyone except for Rob. It still doesn't really make sense.
No, any of the four suspects, I would have accepted. Even Tracy, even though she had no reason, you know, I'd have at least thought, yeah, all right, fair enough. She's done it before, so yeah, all right, then see what you can do with that. You know, Carla, even though I knew it wasn't going to be Carla, you know, you would understand it if it was Carla. And Peter could have just been really, really drunk and pushed her off the balcony. That would have been brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, you could have the same accidental pushover, you know, with it, yeah.
It would have been brilliant if it was Peter. You know, it would have been a perfect reason to make him all alcoholic again. But I'm never going to buy Rob. It's just something that's not going to happen for me.
What about if somebody had accidentally pushed her over, if it had been Rob, but then somebody else had finished her off? Like, if
that would have been brilliant.
Yeah,
that would have been absolutely brilliant. That I could have thought. You know, or maybe Rob thought he'd killed her, and then somebody came along and run her over or something. That would have been absolutely fine. But I just don't buy Rob as a vicious murderer.
The guilt. Yeah, it would have been someone else.
He would have played it exactly the same way, wouldn't he? Because don't they? Who have they told that she was hit over the head? They told Carla.
Yeah, Carla. You must know now. Carla knows. Not many people know that Tina was hit over the head, as far as I know.
I don't. Well, yeah, but these things kind of just appear in characters' dialogue, don't they? Like the whole street is known for ages, so we don't know.
Like Tony just appearing behind the bar in the Rovers today. I mean, yesterday. Did we?
Yeah. Did you work there?
Yeah.
They needed to have him say, "I'm just pitching in" or something.
Yeah, just something. Explain. It kind of made it look like they had a scene that they had to cut or something where he explains exactly what he's doing there, but they just thought, nah, people accept that this random guy that's only been in it a little bit, he just needs to be going out with the landlady. He's just allowed behind the bar.
Yeah, he's obviously just covering for Tina. But...
And he's clearly very good at pulling pints as well, it turns out.
Yeah perfect, yeah. So,
what's his actual... He owns the builder's yard, doesn't he? I know he gave it to...
I think Jason owns it officially, doesn't he?
But he's supposed to be helping him out with it, and he's just fucking around behind the bar. are, giving out pork scratchings.
I don't think they know what to do with Tony. I really thought that this murder storyline might be an opportunity for Tony to become interesting and exciting, but...
It would have suited him.
Yeah,
it would have suited him, definitely.
He's definitely got that evil glare.
And literally, when you were going through your theory podcast, the second you said Tony, I was like, oh my god, it's Tony. It's so obviously Tony. Well done, guys. Yeah, it's Tony. Yeah, Tony. I was convinced.
Oh, and that poor person who bet all that money, I read. They must have been convinced as well. Because I read something where there was betting, and someone put such a big bet on him that they had to stop taking bets. I felt bad for that person.
Yeah, when we heard that, I felt really annoyed that we hadn't done it ourselves. I was like, no.
I didn't know you could bet on these things.
Oh, no. If we had known, we would have done it, and we would have been out so much money. Yeah. Oh, well, we won't do that, I don't think. Mm.
I wonder whether Tony's going to end up finding out, because he's still obviously very much in the storyline with Tracy and Rob. Maybe he'll find out and...
Well, now
get some money off Rob for, you know, keeping blackmail Rob or something.
Yeah.
Possibly. So let's talk about that scene that was in the Rovers with Tony last night then. So Todd flagrantly admitting to him that he's just using Marcus. I was quite surprised that came out of nowhere.
That was really awful.
This storyline is, I love Marcus, or did love Marcus. I was so excited when he came back. He was a great character. He has an interesting job.
Yeah.
They could have done so much with him. And now apparently, like, it's like he literally needs like an MRI. Like, he's had a complete brain transplant. I don't understand why he would have fallen. I mean, it's so transparent that he's using him for his money, and he's just, it's infuriating to watch him, this character, just be so ruined.
Yeah, but how much money does a maternity nurse earn? It's not as if he, you know, if he started trying to go after Tony or, you know, or after somebody who's actually got money, but there's only so much. He, you know, if Marcus was that rich, he wouldn't be living with Julie.
Yeah, well, maybe he's saving money on rent so he can stop. Right.
Yeah.
I would think comparatively to some of the people, other people, like a midwife, right? They would make better money than working in a factory or...
Yeah, you think so. I don't...
I honestly don't.
It's just by comparison's sake.
They don't seem to follow logic with how much people earn and what they spend it on Coronation Street.
Well, no, that's why Tina's always dressed up to the nines, isn't she?
Yeah.
There could have been just so many good storylines for Marcus that would have been so interesting, like him having a problem. I think the midwife thing would have been a nice thread. They could have had him malpractice. So many things that they could have done that didn't have to do with, you know, romantic storylines either. Yeah. And just, this is so dumb.
He's one of the very few professional characters that doesn't have a job on the street.
Mm.
And they have filmed him at his workplace before, so there's no reason why he couldn't have scenes there.
No, I think the fact that we hardly saw any scenes of him together with Maria over the whole year they were together just shows that they don't know what to do with him. Because that could have been
absolutely amazing. That could have been a really groundbreaking story in terms of soaps. Because, you know, it does happen. I don't mind admitting. I had a boyfriend who's now living with a woman, and he's got a kid. It does happen. And they really could have explored Marcus's sexuality and shown him how confused he was and how the hell am I falling in love with a woman. They could have done so much with it, but they just completely and utterly wasted it, and then they completely destroyed Marcus's character. He was a fantastic character, he was such a nice guy, a great actor, and they just completely and utterly wrecked him. It's a real shame. Yep.
Just fawning over Todd and telling him how much he loves him already.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Todd's called Marcus absolutely nothing but trouble. There's no, I mean, and Marcus isn't stupid. He's an intelligent guy. You know, there's no way he'd fall in love with someone like Todd. Yes, he's pretty, but Marcus is more than capable of pulling somebody a lot better than Todd. And a year ago, he would have known that.
Yeah, it really annoys me when they take a really good character and they just totally wreck them for a storyline that they want to shoehorn in. And it's like they think of the storyline and then they think of the characters that could go in it afterwards.
How can the writers think that Todd is irresistible? I mean, it makes no sense.
No.
Oh, bless him.
Todd, don't get me wrong. I do like Todd as a character. I like the fact that he's got this kind of evil streak to him, you know. I think he'd make a really good kind of like second accomplice to Tracy. I'd like them to both. I'd like Tracy to become like his fag hag or something. That would be brilliant.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, and I do like Todd as a character, and I think he's quite intriguing. And to be fair, I don't think Bruno Langley's that bad an actor. I think he can pull it off, but he had some awful dialogue last night to work with, you know. It's come out of nowhere, you know. What was the point in any? You're telling me that from the very beginning, Todd's plan was to get money out of Marcus?
It does seem a bit far.
It's rubbish. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, he. I mean, it was a bit cartoon villainy when he said to Tony, "I'm going to reveal my plan to you." Like, why? Why?
Why?
Tony, what you're up?
Yes, Tony is confidant now.
Exactly. Yeah. Does he really trust Tony in, that much in, that it's not going to be spread around now?
And surely, if he was going to be, if he wants money, he's already seen that that Tony's capable of buying a builder's yard for £75,000. So why would you not try and take advantage of Tony instead of someone who's kind of surfing on sofas around the street? It just doesn't make any sense at all.
No, no.
Yeah, I don't. It's bizarre. Bizarre relationship.
Yeah, well, I would hope that Marcus would find out about it in time, but I just got a feeling he's going to be buying this car or whatever, and then he's going to be left kind of penniless, and then he'll be off.
Well, I agree. There's so much more they could have done with Marcus. I don't want him to.
Sad.
To end up getting annoyed with Todd and going back off somewhere. Where did he go?
London, he lived.
Yeah.
Okay. So talking about penniless, then let's move on to talk about the Windass Armstrong storyline. What do we think of that this week?
Oh, it's been good. I think everyone in that family is a really good actor. Although I would like to say here and now, Gary is my least favourite character and always has been. I think he's such an arse. You know, and he's just throwing his weight around, and I've always found Gary annoying. But I do like this story a lot. I think you said that you thought it was a little bit too dark. It is dark, but I think it's a very cleverly written story. Apart from the fact that Fina's now just gone.
Yeah.
Fina's character, I think, would have stayed around to gloat about it instead of going, all right, okay, fair enough. Fair play, Anna. All right, see you later.
Yeah, I really wish he'd been lurking around here, because they had that final scene where he kind of released them from the contract and then he was off. And
it doesn't make any sense, because he only had that. He only did everything he did to annoy them. It seemed like he had no other motivation, because he could have got any, you know.
The money.
Well, he didn't need to go to the extremes that he did to torment the pair of them. And then he kind of decided that was as far as he could go. But I think he could have tormented them a lot more. Mm. Told Owen himself, I'm sure. Why didn't he?
Well, I thought that he was going to have the footage of them in the hotel room on the DVD that he gave them.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Oof. They missed the chance.
Yeah.
I suppose having him gone means that they have to destroy each other. So I guess dramatically that works on some level, that it just has to be all of their own, you know, feelings and ego and shame that sort of kind of rips them apart. Like, he's no longer there to be like a focus of their anger, because they really were. I mean, that's the first scene where I thought she was trying to get him to hit her. It was very intense when she was baiting him. It was scary.
What do you think about Owen's behaviour since he's been back this week? Because I think he's been pretty nasty to Anna. He's been goading her
a little bit.
The reaction that she got from Gary was obviously what she was hoping to get from Owen. But he
swapped it around. I think she was expecting it to be completely the other way around, because she didn't want Gary to kick off, because she thought that he would react exactly like Owen has. And I think she kind of was hoping that Owen would react the way Gary has.
Yeah. Oh. It was so sad when he gave her a big hug. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But he loves Yana.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do that. I don't know how I'd feel about my mum if she turned around to me and said that she'd done something like that. That'd be a bit weird.
I know. I don't want to really think about it, but I know what you mean.
I need a minute.
Yeah, all right, mum. I'm just going to make a cup of tea and think about what you just told me, all right?
Yeah, there were a lot of kids having to have discussions with their parents that were inappropriate, like Katie and her dad, that's very awkward.
I know. What was that like? Owen basically just sitting down with Kate and going, look, the fact is, I'm not getting any. So what would you advise I do?
I think this is what happens when, you know, parents and children have the same romantic partners. You know, like when your boyfriend's mother is also your perhaps mother-in-law. It's never going to be non-awkward.
Also, can I just say, I think Faye is probably, how did they know that she was drunk? She was no different to how she was normally. She was just a little bit more surly. I don't understand how they worked out she was drunk at all.
No. A little blotchy.
Yeah, I'm glad they've kept her out of all the finer details of this story.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to have to see them explaining that to her.
Well, they said that they're going to tell her. Didn't Anna say she said no more lies? She's going to...
Faye's a tough cookie. Yeah, all right.
No, she's not. I wouldn't be surprised if she went to go and live with Sally and Tim.
Yeah, you're right. You could be right.
Yeah. Well, she's annoyed at them because they're not getting married, isn't she?
No. Can't be a bridesmaid anymore.
Yeah, I would be good as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's been good. It's been a good week, though. I've enjoyed it.
It's been pretty good. I've enjoyed it, but it's not been as good as the last 2 weeks. But it's still on
but
a bit of a.
It couldn't have been, could it?
No, it's still been on quite a high at the moment, which is good. I hope.
I totally cried when David cried when Tina died. You know.
Oh,
I didn't expect him to either. Just the way that I think Jack P. Shepherd's an amazing actor. So like the way he just kind of just broke down, I was like, oh, what's sad.
Yeah, he's been so good. I mean, the scene that I mentioned with Tina's mom, just like it's just funny that he can't be 100% nice all the time, even when he's trying very hard to be. I just love that character.
Yeah,
that's how he needs to stay.
David and Steve, I think, are the most appreciated characters. To me. I think they're brilliant.
Mm.
I think they make the show, but I don't think they get enough recognition.
No, well, Steve's a popular character in Canada, isn't he? We know, but
Steve's brilliant. I love Steve. I think he's so funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Steve. We were talking about him together with Michelle earlier, but earlier on in the year it was all Steve and Andrew, and would they end up together? But now it looks like Andrea's secret is possibly going to be revealed.
Oh, I already know what it is, thanks to it being plastered on the front of a magazine. I'm not going to tell you, but...
Oh, I already know what it is as well. We won't talk about it. Gemma doesn't.
Oh, no. But honestly, it was just plastered across the front of a magazine. I was like, excuse me.
Yeah.
It's rubbish as well, isn't it?
Yeah, have you yeah.
You're going to cryptically talk about it.
Yeah, just talk about it in code.
And I have quite enjoyed Angela. Well, Andrea. Not Angela, Andrea, up until she started kind of being quite secretive. I thought she was a great character.
I loved her.
Yeah, and she was being kind of smug this week too with like the whole food thing. Like it seemed like she was kind of rubbing it in, and then she sort of got nice at the end with the vacation, but I don't know what, I don't know.
I think they're setting her up to be a bit of a wronging because she was super nice and kind of patient and tolerant of Jenna and everything. And now she's more like, oh, you're my rival for Lloyd's attentions. I don't see why you're here. I'm better than you, Jenna. Here's a superfood salad that I made.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think anyone knows why Jenna's there. Jenna doesn't know what Jenna's doing.
Why
everyone's confused.
Why am I
with Jenna?
Yeah. Is she? Because yeah, Andrea was brought in as like the perfect woman for Steve, wasn't she? It's just like to show how much she contrasts with evil Michelle. But now she's turning evil herself.
Maybe it's hanging around Michelle for all that time. It just kind of rubs off on you. She starts folding her arms again.
When she starts walking around with her arms folded all the time, we'll know that there's been an effect.
Yeah. Hopeless.
Yeah. One thing we haven't mentioned so far is the great scene between Carla and Roy on Monday's episode. That was brilliant. Everything that David does at the moment is fantastic as Roy. Because I was worried that with Hayley gone, that they'd just kind of quietly retire him to the background or something. And they have to some extent, because he had a very busy 6 months. But I'm really enjoying the role he's playing as the shoulder to cry on for Carla at the moment.
Yeah, because he should rely on Michelle, because Michelle's just trying to milk it for her own benefit, isn't she? Yeah.
Well, I think as it goes on, I think obviously Carla's going to go on more of a downward spiral at the minute, you know, because let's face it, with Carla, she has had literally everything that can go wrong with a woman happen to her. You know, she's lost a baby, she's lost about 3 different husbands through death, she's had a miscarriage, she's been raped, you know, everything that could go wrong has happened to Carla. And I think, you know, I think there's going to be quite a nice kind of Roy and Becky relationship start to establish between the two of them. I'm pretty sure that at some point it's probably going to involve Roy picking her up out of the gutter, you know, a bottle of wine in her hand. And yeah, I think it's a really nice relationship that they've got going on.
Yeah, much better than what could have happened if it had been Roy just let's set him up with Mary just for the sake of it, which certainly could have happened.
Windy.
Yeah,
I hope it continues in nicer times too, so you know, I hope at some point, God, hopefully that Carla's life is not in the gutter, that they have sort of like a happy friendship as well, like a lighter, you know, lighter scenes, because they're the two of those two actors, there's so much chemistry.
It could end up being a bit like what happened with Becky and Roy, because they were sort of through thick and thin, weren't they?
Yeah,
it was mostly because of Hayley, but it would be nice if they remained friends and didn't just sort of disappear into nothing.
I think they will. I think Roy's probably the only man in Carla's entire life that isn't capable of messing her around, really.
Or of murder. The only man not capable of murder that she knows.
Yeah, all he's going to do is put an extra sugar in her tea or something like that. You know, I don't think he's capable of doing anything else.
Give her a latte instead of a cappuccino.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Roy, I can't believe you did that.
I think Carla will come through out of this all okay in the end, because she is like a proper, strong Corrie woman, isn't she?
She's
like an Elsie Tanner. She's going to rise above it all in the end. And yeah, she'll probably end up going down for it and then she'll be out. But I think she's going to end up having the last laugh.
Well, she definitely had a bit of a temper tantrum on Friday's episode, which wasn't really good to see. But she can only take so much, though. That's
I don't think you can blame her, really. I mean, yeah, it wasn't the best move to start having a go at a grieving mother. But, you know, I think it's understandable as to why she did it.
She should stop going into the factory and just accept that maybe she should stay at home sometime.
I'm just waiting now for the scene where Simon turns around to Clara and goes, "You turned my dad into a murderer."
Oh, I'll tell you, God.
It's coming. It's coming. He's going to do it.
Yeah.
Simon. I'm just fantasizing about what she could do to him.
Probably pick him up by his hair and just be like,
just swing
you
and throw him.
Definitely.
Bless him.
He was born gobby.
Yeah, exactly. It's something else that him and Tina had in common.
Yeah.
Right, so that's pretty much it for the week, isn't it?
It's like, apart from Leanne and Cal, and who cares about them, really?
Were they even in it this week? I can't even remember.
I think a little bit, but, you know, I think there was just little bits and pieces. But like I say, you know, who cares, really? It's a rubbish story. It's boring. Cal isn't particularly interesting. I can't wait for his family all come and play.
Cal was great at the beginning. I gave him a good chance at the beginning when he and Dev were together.
He and Dev were brilliant.
Really funny, I thought.
Yeah, need to get them back together. That was good stuff.
The thing about Dev, though, is he doesn't need any particular one character to bounce off of. He can bounce off of anybody.
Mm. I do like Sharif. I like him. I think he's a good character. But he's one of those that you can just tell is going to be axed pretty soon, can't you?
But he's way more interesting than Cal. And Cal's just come in and I don't know. He's like a Nick. He's like Nick. He's boring and quiet.
Yeah.
Maybe the rest of the family will spice it up.
Well, exactly. Yeah, they are going to bring in his children and mum as well, aren't they? So that could certainly be interesting. Because all he's there for at the moment is for Leanne. And like I said, that storyline's dull. So hopefully his new family will be interesting enough to get him away from the whole Leanne thing.
Mm.
Well, it can't be any worse, can it?
Quite. Right, so I think we'll round off the discussion there then.
Well, thank you, and congratulations for reaching your 100th.
Thank you so much for letting us be involved. I'm a huge fan, so this is really exciting.
Yeah, it's great. It was great to speak to you too.
Yeah, it was really cool. Listen, and where can people find you online? Do you want to share any Twitter names or anything if people want to follow you?
I warn you now, I tweet about Big Brother a lot, but it's @robinis87.
Cool.
Okay.
I have a Twitter, but it's boring. It's Jules_Duffy, but it's boring.
Oh, wow. We sell ourselves so well, don't we?
Need to work on your marketing a bit more.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Cool. Well, that's it. Thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. And, lots of fun. I hope the listeners all enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they will have done. It's good.
Yeah, cool.
Here's to the next 100.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're back in 2 years for this. Yeah. Welcome everyone to Conversation Street Rovers Pub Quiz. We're your landlord and landlady, Michael and Gemma, and tonight we're joined by 3 Corrie fans who'll be competing to put their Weatherfield wisdom to the test. Will there be a Ken or a Kirk? Let's meet them and find out. First up, we have a returning guest to the podcast, event coordinator of the Canadian fan group, the Down East Streeters. It's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Pretty good, Michael. How about yourself?
Yeah, we're doing good, thank you. Enjoying the 100th episode. Tell us about yourselves, for listeners who weren't here to hear you before, tell us about yourself and your Corrie watching habits, how long you've been watching, and so on.
Well, originally I was from England, from Hull.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of started watching when I was a kid, maybe about 5 or 6 years old, so that would make about 46 years of watching Corrie on and off. But probably for the last 20 to 30 years, I've been pretty regular. When I moved to Canada and moved to Halifax, I joined a club that has, over the past 12 years, brought actors and actresses from the show over to meet fans in Halifax.
Cool, excellent. So Mark's also going to be joined tonight by a Corrie fan calling all the way from Qatar. It's Regan. How are you doing, Regan?
Great, how are you?
Good, thank you. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm actually Canadian, and I've been watching Corrie since the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently visited the UK, so I was able to go on the tour in April, and that was an interesting experience.
Excellent. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And finally, like Reagan, our final contestant of the night has been a frequent contributor to the Conversation Street feedback section since the beginning. From Ontario, it's Stephen. Hi, Stephen.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you. Thanks for inviting me to participate in this.
That's fine. How long have you been watching Corey, Stephen?
Probably about 15 years or so since I met my wife. We're both originally born in and around Glasgow, Scotland, and I immigrated when I was 6 to Canada, and she came over just over 20 years ago. You know, the old joke is she had to travel 3,000 miles to meet a real Scotsman. So from that standpoint, she was a huge Corey enthusiast, and I jumped on board and have been on this train since that time.
Brilliant. Okay, so let's get this quiz started then. Each contestant will be asked a Corey-related question in turn. A correct answer earns you 1 point, but if you get a question wrong or if you need to pass, you must choose one of the other contestants to give the chance to answer. The idea, of course, is to pass on to someone who has a lower score or someone who you don't think is going to get the question right. And the questions this evening have all been provided by all-round Corey expert T-Vor, so I hope you're up for the challenge.
I certainly am.
Cool. So, Mark, we're going to ask you your question first. And the first question tonight is, where was the cafe and the cabin located before their current location?
Wow, that's a good question. And that wasn't really on the street. I'm going to say Rosamond Street, but I'm not sure if that's correct.
Rosamond Street. Is he correct, Gemma?
That's correct.
Well done. It was Rosamond Street. Well done. I think it moved over to Coronation Street. Roy's Rolls was opened about 10 years ago or so, and I think the cabin has been over there for about 20 years, I reckon. So, well done. 1 point for Mark. Regan, your first question is, what was the name of the widow that Jack Duckworth lived with after Vera died?
Oh, I can see her face. No, that's not her name. I cannot get it right. I know it's not Phyllis. That's what I'm going to say, though.
Yeah, no, not Phyllis, I'm afraid. Who are you going to choose to pass that question on to, Regan?
Oh, well, give it back to Mark.
Okay.
Oh, thanks. Like Regan, I can picture her name, but I can't think. Or I can picture her face, but I can't think of her name. No, I'm going to have to pass that to Stephen.
And I believe it's Connie.
It is, yes. Connie. Well done, Stephen. A point for you. Well done.
Connie Rathbone,
yeah. The third question, then. This is for you, Stephen. What were the names of Danny and Frankie Baldwin's sons? And you need to get both sons to get the question right.
I want to say Mark, and I don't know. I can picture them as well. I can't think of it. I'll pass it over to Regan.
Oh. All I can remember is Jamie, and I'll take a guess on the other kid.
Jamie is right for one of them, yeah.
Derek.
Oh, no, not quite. Mark, can you steal the point?
No, I can't. I know it's Jamie and... No. Stephen.
No, Jamie and Warren.
Warren Baldwin.
No recollection of Warren.
No, yeah, there we go. So no points for that one. Gemma, do you want to read the question too?
Yes. Mark, when Jason Grimshaw first appeared in Weatherfield, what sport did he participate in?
Football.
No.
Not football, I'm afraid. Who are you going to pass to?
I'm going to go to Reagan.
I'm clearly the weak link here. Oh, no. Oh, sport. Rugby.
No, not rugby. Stephen, chance to steal.
The only other sport I can think of is maybe cricket.
It wasn't. He was actually a runner when he first came into the show.
Oh, running, of course.
Really?
Yeah, that kind of, I'd forgotten that one as well. That was one of T-Bill's questions.
I don't remember that at all.
No, I don't either.
Being sporty?
No, nor do I.
Right, so, Reagan, what is Spider Nugent's first name?
Jeffrey.
Yay! Well done, nice and fast. Well
one
done.
All now.
Uh-huh, okay.
Stephen, when Roy Cropper organised a historical reenactment, who was his foe on the battlefield?
So I think this was a reenactment of a battle that happened on the Red Wreck. Yeah,
I remember that, and I don't know. I'm going to pass it to Mark.
Now, are you asking for the character or the actual historical
The character.
I'm going to say Norris, but I really don't know.
It wasn't Norris. Good try. Regan to steal.
I'm going to say Les Battersby.
Afraid not. It was Fred that he was up against. Oh. Okay, so that was the second question. On to round three. First question.
And it's one all.
It is one all at the mm-hmm. moment, so everything to play for. Mark, your question is, when Mavis Wilton moved away from Weatherfield, whereabouts did she set up a bed and breakfast?
Oh, wow. I'm going to say Gretna Green, but I don't think that's correct.
No, not Gretna Green, I'm afraid. Who's it going to go to?
I'm going to go to Stephen this time.
My guess is Blackpool.
Not yep. that full as that.
I don't think you can guess this.
Common locations. Regan, any ideas?
You got to know it, I think.
Somewhere in the Lake District.
You get? Yeah, we'll give you that one. It was Cartmel in the Lake District. Well done, Regan.
I don't even know that that's a place.
That is a place, yeah. Lake District it is. So, Regan, the next question is for you, and you're going to get this one. Les Battersby was a fan of a particular rock band. Which band was...
Oh, Status Quo.
Yeah, well done. Oh, you're storming into the league now. Well done. And, Stephen, the third question to you. Todd is currently chasing after Marcus, but when he came into it a few years ago, he had a London boyfriend. Do you remember the name of his boyfriend in London?
I would say, Duncan or something like that.
Not Duncan. Who are we going to pass to?
Let's go to Mark.
I'm going to say Paul.
Nope, not Paul.
And so, Regan?
Anthony?
It's not. It
was Jules.
Jules.
Oh, okay.
That's one that comes back to me now that I hear it. I wouldn't have been able to get that one.
These are pretty tough questions.
There's a mixture. There's some tough ones. There's some easy ones. Let's go on to the round four, see how we do.
Mark, your fourth question.
Okay.
What song did Richard Hillman play in the car when he drove the family into the canal?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to pass it to Stephen.
We'll accept you singing a bit of the song.
Yeah, you're out of luck there. I don't know, I'm going to say Hell's Bells, but I know that's wrong.
No. Regan?
Not a clue. How about We Are Family?
Oh, that was a good option, but it is not. It was the You and Me song. And it's always you and me.
Maybe that was just a song that they played a lot.
Maybe.
It's a really famous song.
Yeah, maybe that's a common one on clip shows. Okay, yep. Question four, Gemma.
Regan, who died the day Ashley and Maxine got married?
Shoot.
It was somebody back on the street. It wasn't anyone that was at the wedding.
Yeah, was that Tracy's dad, Ray? No, that came later. I don't know.
I think that's later. Who are we going to pass to?
I'm guessing Alf Roberts.
Not Alf Roberts. He was a New Year's death. So, Mark, to steal, do you know who died at the same day as Ashley and Maxine got married?
Yes, I do, but I can't remember her name. It was, she had twins. When she died, her husband moved to Blackpool with those twins, and I can't think of the name. And I know that the Billy and the Becky were the twins' names, but I can't think of her name.
Point for knowing that, I think.
Yeah, we'll give you half a point. Do you want to have a final guess at the name?
No. I can picture her, because now she's playing on Emmerdale.
She is, yes.
I know her name now. It's Judy Mallet.
Yes, Julie Matt.
All right.
Should we give Regan the second half a point for that one? Yeah, we'll give you the second half. So half a mark.
So at the end of the fourth round, Mark's got 1.5, Regan's got 3.5, and Stephen's got 1.
Okay, bit of catching up to do, Stephen. See if the next questions serve you better. So, Mark, your next question is, what is the name of Michelle's biological son? And this is the son we're supposed to forget ever existed.
And I've forgotten him.
Who are you going to pass to?
No, I'm going to give it a guess at Jim.
It's not Jim.
It's Stephen.
Can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, we know that Ryan isn't actually Michelle's biological son. Do you remember the name of her actual son who was swapped at birth?
No, I have to pass it to Regan.
I don't know, Michael?
No, it's Alex. These questions too hard. I think there are some easier ones coming up, I think. You're doing okay. Okay, question five. David and Kylie got married a couple of years ago, but they actually had a double wedding. They shared their wedding day with another pair. Do you remember who they are, Regan?
No, I don't. I'm just going to guess Rita and Dennis.
It's not Rita and Dennis, no. Who are we going to pass to?
Mark.
I'm going to say Tracy and Steve.
Not Tracy and Steve. Final guess from Stephen?
I think it's a little bit further back, maybe Steve and Becky, but I don't think that's correct either.
It's not, I'm afraid. It was Graham and Sheen who were getting married to keep Sheen from being deported.
Oh, right, yes.
Remember that?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, and question five for Stephen. Which character who left the show a couple of years ago was born in a taxi cab on Rosamund Street?
I'm trying to think who's left over the last couple of years, and there's a long list. Who would have been around long enough to be able to have actually been born on the street? I can't, you know, there's no one coming to my to my mind here, so I'll pass it to Mark.
I'm going to say Rosie Webster.
Rosie yes. Webster is right. Well done, Mark. A point for you. Okay, on to round six. Gemma, question for Mark.
Mark, who painted Jack and Vera's stone cladding yellow and blue?
That would have been Vera's brother. And I can't think of his name. And he's the one that passed on the coat to Jack.
Almost right.
You're almost right. We might give you half a point for that. Does anyone want to say why it's only half a point?
No, I don't have a clue.
It was actually Jack's brother, Cliff.
Oh. Yes, okay. Right, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We'll give you half a point for that. So you're on to three whole points now, Mark. Gemma, what's question six?
Regan, what are the names of all of Leanne's half and step siblings?
Well, so Toya's the easy one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chesney, I think he was legally adopted. I'm trying to think of the one that beat Sally. I can't think of his name at all. The older son of
It was an older son. We didn't actually have Chesney on our list. I can't even remember whether he counts or not. We've got another one, a character that is still on the show at the moment.
Oh, Eva. Oh, no. Yeah, you just asked the Yeah, so Eva. But yeah, I can't remember Les's older son name.
Yeah. I think we'll give you that point. It was Greg Kelly, the third one. But because you said Chesney as well, we'll let you have the point for that one. Well done. And Stephen, your question?
Mm-hmm.
Which character caused the fire when the Rovers burned in 1986? You've got to think back to before it was burned the last time.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it was Steve's brother, and his name just escapes me at the moment.
It wasn't Andrew, I'm afraid.
No.
Someone else. Who are we going to pass to?
I guess go to Mark.
I'm going to say Bette Lynch.
Not Bette, she was caught up in the fire, she was upstairs, she did some very convincing screaming and a little bit of sick.
But it wasn't her fault.
It wasn't Bette. Regan, who do you think caused the Rovers fire the first time?
Alec Gilroy?
No, not Alec, it was, you were all kind of skirting around there, it was close. It was Jack Duckworth who caused the first fire. Because he put the wrong size fuse in a fuse box, apparently.
Jack.
Right, Mark, on to your seventh question. Last year, we were introduced to Haley's grandchildren, and to get your point for this round, you need to be able to name one of them. So can you remember the names of either of Haley's grandchildren?
No, I can't. But I will give it a guess at Stacey.
Ooh, no, not quite. Who are we going to pass to?
I'm going to pass to Regan.
Not a clue. I'll guess Brianna.
No, good try.
That's a good name.
Yeah, it's a good name. Stephen, final guess.
Cindy.
No, good try. They were Macy and Sam.
Oh.
Regan, this is your next question. When Jim McDonald first came into Coronation Street, he owned a business under the Viaduct, which is the current location of the bistro. Do you know what kind of business he had?
Construction?
It wasn't construction. Good try. Who should we pass to?
Mark.
I'm going to say motorcycle repair.
Yeah,
absolutely right, Mark. Well done. He had a motorbike repair business. And Stephen, your third question from TVOR is, Hilda Ogden had two sets of iconic props, both of which numbered three in each set. What were they?
No idea. I didn't follow the street at that time.
Okay.
Let me pass it to Regan.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, Hilda Ogden had two sets of iconic props, both of which numbered three in each set. What were they?
But I have a clue. How about curlers?
Curlers is one of them. Yeah, curlers is one of them. What else did she have three of in her house?
Oh, did she have the ducks?
She did. She had the three flying ducks, which is where our Conversation Street logo comes from. Well done. Another point for Regan.
So at the end of the seventh round, Mark's got 4, Regan's got 5, and Stephen's got 1.
Come on, Stephen. You can do it. You can.
Oh, I'll get at least one more.
Right. So the eighth round, Mark, your question. On the turn of the millennium, Coronation Street had its first two-hander episode in which only Curly and Raquel starred. Which pair appeared in Corrie's only other two-hander?
Wow. It's a good one. I would say Ken and Deirdre.
Ooh, not quite.
Oh, a little bit.
Yeah, you were close, but you think you're going to have to pass that on to someone else. Who's going to have a go at guessing that?
I'm going to give it to Stephen.
Yeah, I'm thinking here. I have it that it's Ken and somebody, but I don't know who the second party would be.
You going to give it a go?
No, I can't think of anything. Regan?
I'll guess Ken and Peter.
No, it was actually Deirdre and Tracy. And this was the episode where Tracy confessed to Deirdre that she had meant to kill Charlie Stubbs.
Oh. Regan, your eighth question. Marcus used to be a scan technician at Weatherfield General, but what is his job there now?
I guess the wrong answer is I thought he still was. is he a nurse now?
No.
Oh.
He can pass to.
I'll pass it to Stephen.
Okay. I was thinking nurse as well, but OBGYN.
No.
No. And Mark, can you steal this one?
Well, I was going to say obstetrics, but I don't know if that falls into that OBGYN kind of category.
Well, no.
Like a midwife.
Yeah, he's a midwife.
Oh.
That's his the term we were looking for.
We were looking for midwife, so that we'll give you a point for there, Mark. And question 8 for Stephen, Gemma.
Stephen, in 2005, Katie Harris committed suicide in a rather unconventional way. Can you remember what it was?
Don't remember that character at all.
Okay, would you like to pass it on to someone?
On to Regan.
Well, she was in a diabetic coma. Do I have to say how she got there?
Yeah, how did she induce this?
Was it alcohol?
She'd left it a bit longer, it might have been.
We'll give you a half point for that, Regan. Do you want to see if Mark can see if Mark can earn the other half? Mark,
she ingested sugar.
Yeah, she had some sugar water she had, so we'll give you a half a point for that, Mark. Well done. Okay, we have got 2 rounds left to go now. So question 9 for Mark. What was the type of car that Jack and Vera won in a competition in 1986?
Morris Minor.
Not a Morris Minor. Good try. Who are we going to go for?
I'm going to say Stephen.
I'm thinking a Mini.
Not a Mini. Good try. Regan, to steal.
I wish I knew the names of cars. How about some sort of how about a Woody like Haley and Roy had?
Oh, it wasn't a Woody. Good try. It was a Vauxhall Nova that they won. Okay, Regan, your question next is: Ivy Brennan left Number 5 Coronation Street to her grandson Nick in her will, but do you know what condition it was left under? What did Nick have to do?
He had to change his name back.
Yep.
Yeah, he had to become Tilsley. Well done.
That's Tilsley,
another point for you. And Stephen, your next question.
I could have gotten the past one.
Ashley, Molly and Charlotte all lost their lives in the 2010 tram crash episodes, but which longtime Corrie favourite character passed away just a month beforehand?
It was Deirdre's mum.
It wasn't Blanche, I'm afraid. No. Who are you going to pass to?
Mark.
I'm going to say Fred Elliott.
It wasn't Fred, he died a few years before that, I think. Regan, do you know who died a month before the tram crash?
It was Jack.
Yeah, it was. It was Jack Duckworth. I love that death scene. That was when Vera came. It was a good one. That was when Vera came back and they all went off together on the death bus.
On the death bus.
So we have got one question left. See if you will hopefully, Mark, Stephen, you'll be able to get one more question. But Mark, oh, actually, yeah, Mark, you've got 5.5. Regan, you have got 7.5. And Stephen, you've got 1. So, Regan, I think you've won, but we'll have the last question anyway.
So, Mark, when Stan and Hilda went on their second honeymoon in 1977, what did Hilda's lipstick taste of?
Woman.
Yeah, exactly. Or woman, Stanley, woman is the full quote we were looking for, but we'll give you a whole point for that. Well done.
Regan, what was the name of the cult that Zoe Tattersall joined in 1998?
I don't have a clue. I can't remember.
This is a bit of an obscure one. Huh?
Bit dark, I think.
Who are you going to pass on to, Regan?
Stephen.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm thinking like the Well-Wishers or something like that.
No, good try, Mark. Do you remember?
Was it the Ethical Foundation?
It wasn't. No, good try. It was the Cult of Nirab. And this was the cult that was named after the producer Brian Park, who'd swung the axe and killed lots of famous favourite characters like Derek. So they made Nirab as an anagram of Brian. And final question, Gemma, for Stephen.
Stephen, Eileen...
Making it easy.
Let's see. Eileen's former partner, Jesse Chadwick, was a children's entertainer. He dressed as a cowboy. But what was the name of his sidekick?
I remember the character, and I remember him dressing up and all the shenanigans around that, but I have no recollection of the sidekick's name.
Oh, shame. Who are you going to pass on to?
Give it to Mark and see if he can remember.
You get this one, then it's going to be a draw. It's going to be a tie with Regan, Mark. Can you do it?
I know. Pocahontas?
Oh, not Pocahontas, although she did look like Pocahontas and she was dressed up. Regan, do you remember what the name was?
No, I can't.
Gemma, the answer is?
Hialoa.
Hialoa.
Of course. Who could forget?
And that's it. That's the end of our pub quiz. We've got in third place, Stephen. At least you got 1 point. You managed. Well done.
I don't think I would have gotten on this one.
Mark, you managed 6.5 points, which is pretty respectable. But our winner for the first ever Conversation Street pub quiz was Regan with 7.5 points. Well done.
Yay!
Yay, well done.
Right. Regan.
Very exciting.
Don't get too excited because there isn't a prize.
You just get the honour of being the winner.
Yeah.
You don't actually get anything.
No, the first ever winner in our quiz. There you go. Well done, guys. That was quite fun.
Those questions are really hard.
They were really hard.
At least it's taught us that if we do one again, we'll make some easier questions.
Yeah.
Because if you get the questions from Tivor.
Yeah, I know.
I should be the guinea pig. And if I don't even understand the question, then maybe...
But no, I think everyone gave it a good shot, and that was some good strategic passing of questions as well. But yeah, well done. So there we go, that's it.
That's the end of the quiz.
Yeah, well done everyone. Thank you very much for joining in. Just in case anyone wants to get hold of you online, are any of you on Twitter or anything? I'd like to share any Twitter handles?
Sure, it's Steve. Mine is the Pied Piper 67.
Cool. Mark, are you on Twitter?
No, I'm not on Twitter.
Okay, and Regan, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter, but I don't say anything interesting. But I would love to say hello to my friend Courtney in Calgary, who listens to the podcast.
Oh, cool.
Okay, that's fine. You can get your hellos in. Hello, Courtney, as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Right,
she'll
yeah.
be very proud to be your friend today, I think.
Yeah, the friend of the winner, the champion.
Yeah, exactly. Bask in the glory, Courtney.
Right, well done, everyone. Thanks very much for playing.
Thank you.
Thanks for hosting, guys.
Ah, there we are. So, time for the cabin. Very little happened at all this week.
There's a really amazing piece of news that I'm going
to... Oh, yeah, you said right at the beginning.
I'm going to end it.
Oh, you're going to end it? Okay.
Because it's the best piece of news ever.
Well, the biggest piece of Coronation Street-related news this week is, of course, that Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British Soap Institution Coronation Street, is 100 episodes long this week. But we won't talk any more about that because we have done already a little bit.
No. I think we should have a round of applause.
Hooray for us!
Yay!
No, nothing has happened. Catherine Tilsley is swimming in Lake Windermere tomorrow for charity, which is lovely, but we don't know what's happened with that. Ryan Thomas had his birthday party. Not much news there.
We didn't get invited.
And some Pride of Britain bus arrived at Coronation Street today to talk, so that the stars could talk about what they think about the Pride of Britain and who they would nominate. So it's not. I didn't think it was exciting enough to make a news article about, but we can talk about the Gail and Me documentary that was on ITV on Monday.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was a documentary all about Gail and her 40...
Yeah, 40 years.
Years
it was
of being on the Coronation Street.
A half an hour's programme, which didn't really do it justice, but it was good to see. I mean, there were obviously a lot of the old clips, because people always like to have a laugh at Gail in a miniskirt.
Yeah, it was along the lines of Tina... one where it was really about the actress talking, reminiscing about her time on the street rather than a summary of storylines, which, to be honest, you don't like that as much.
No, I didn't mind it for this. I loved it for Gail, but the Tina thing I thought should have been about Tina, and this was about Helen.
Can I just... the thing about Tina is that everybody knows what's happened because she hasn't been in it that long. You don't really need to tell everybody what happened, whereas I don't know what the actress thinks. Do you know what I mean? I've not seen much about what she thinks about everything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to get their sort of backstage.
Mm. Well, what I liked about this one particularly with Helen Worth was bringing back some of the old actors to have a talk with her. Like, obviously, Brian Capron was there with his black gloves and everything, sort of walking down the street.
He never leaves home without them, does he?
No, and Helen was like, oh, I haven't seen those gloves for... since you left, but we all know that's not true, because every single interview that Brian did around the time, he pulled his gloves out. And also, very nice, we got to see Amanda Barry, who played Alma, of course. The way that Helen played it was like she didn't realise that she was there, because she was like sitting down in the cafe, wasn't she? And then Amanda came from the door at the back of the cafe, so that was quite nice seeing them together.
It was a bit like a Corrie, This Is Your Life.
Yeah, it was. That's a good way of putting it. That, and they had obviously Sue Nichols and Jack P. Shepherd doing some talking heads. I like the bit where Jack was talking about the fact that Helen always used to hit him over the head with whatever.
Yeah, and it wasn't in the script. Yeah, she was just clipping around the ear.
They showed loads of compilations of clips, and even Sarah Louise was doing it herself, wasn't she?
Yeah.
So it was pretty interesting. I did like it. I really do think they could have stretched it out for longer, because there's so much to talk about in Gail's history, but it was a good little thing to watch. Now, I remember now what your secret news is going to be.
Because
you've
seen me looking at it.
No, I did. I remember you getting quite excited about this earlier on in the week.
Everybody, I know you would have to wait until the beginning of July for the big reveal of Michelle Keegan's amazing Lipsy collection, but no, because until the 22nd of June, you can pre-order it at Next.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm glad this is making it into our landmark 100th episode.
And not only that, but you can get 25% off your order plus free delivery. That's right.
So if you want to look like Michelle Keegan.
Yeah, there's a collection and it's got things like lacy nude dresses with bits of black lace and white lace and little pencil skirts and a tuxedo top. It's all very fashionable, and maybe I've ordered something, and maybe I haven't.
Oh, what?
You can't say anything to me now, because we're recording.
Oh, man. Oh, right.
Well,
talk to you later,
you,
young lady.
I told you that I wanted to dress up as Tina for October, for Halloween, for the podcast, and so I had to order something to help me realise my dream.
Okay, well, we'll wait and see, won't we?
Yeah.
Oh, we couldn't have a 100th episode without Gemma's fashion shoot, because you know how much some of the listeners like them.
It makes the show. So that was the news. That wasn't very much.
There was nothing particularly in the news this week, but the Gail documentary was good, and you're very excited about Michelle Keegan's clothes.
Yeah, and we make our own news, because 100 episodes.
Exactly. Oh, also, I just remembered something else.
What?
You can get a perfect duet in the shop at the Coronation Street tour.
Oh, that's Glenda's awesome.
Glenda's got it in the book.
Congratulations, Glenda.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's cool.
Because we thought that the gift shop was a bit rubbish, and it's been made better now.
Oh, yeah, it was. I see
there was nothing. There was not much there at the gift shop.
Well, they've
now
they've
there
got,
is.
Now they've got the main book.
Yeah, exactly. So well done to Glenda.
That's going to fly off the shelves, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. They're going to sell loads there. Yeah. That was a very good move from the publisher for getting that in. Yeah, well done. Okay, let's finish off the episode with a bit of feedback now. It's time for a little bit of...
feedback?
Feedback.
Yeah.
Congratulatory feedback on our 100th episode.
Back patting.
Yeah. We did get a couple of other emails, but we'll put them on to next week. This is definitely a back-patting feedback. Yeah. We've earned it.
We did 100 of these. Laurel said, congratulations on your 100th episode. I always enjoy your podcast.
Thank you. Tibor has said, I've enjoyed your podcast from the start. It's always fun, irreverent, and thoughtful. I send in my feedback because I love to chat about my favourite show, and I hope it encourages others to send in their feedback as well. I'm glad to have been in a position to help promote it via the Coronation Street and Blue Nose Corrie blogs, and I've always done so because I think that a podcast is kind of like a Corrie ping, a get-together for fans, and it should have lots and lots of listeners to join in.
That's awesome.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Definitely, Tibor. We really appreciate every single one of your emails. No, definitely not. It's been really brilliant getting all the emails from you over the years, and the 2 years that we were doing it.
Well,
and
I'm
sure they'll continue. Yeah, you've provided lots of talking points, and I think you definitely have encouraged other people to email in as well.
Yep. Alison wrote, just wanted to send a message to say congratulations on your 100th episode. I've listened to every single one, enjoy your street talk, including the storyline titles.
Yes!
Well
yes.
done, Michael, someone mentioned it. Character profiles and interviews, as well as every other part of each podcast. I really liked your podcast about your trip to Manchester and the Corrie set. Not being able to make the trip myself, it was great to hear what it was like.
That was the idea behind that one, because we know that lots of the Canadian listeners aren't unfortunately going to be able to make it. And we wanted to make it feel like
you were really there.
You got the taxi tour. You got the going really around the fun. Houses. I'm really glad how that one turned out, and we're glad lots of people liked it as well.
She continues, when I think back to when I started listening almost 2 years ago now, there have been so many changes in my life, mostly for the good, but it's also been stressful. It has been so nice to be able to count on watching my show, as my son calls it, each and every night, and to listen to you every week as well.
That's very nice of you. Thank you to say so. And our last email this week comes from Jane, our best listener, because her name's Jane Best.
Jane Best.
Congratulations and good luck on your 100th podcast next week. Because she sent it last week. I finished listening to number 99 and I can't wait to see all the drama over the next couple of weeks in Canada. I just love your podcast and how much it's enhanced my enjoyment of the show. Yeah. You two make me smile and sometimes laugh out loud.
Oh,
great
wow.
team.
Yeah, we're a great team. Husband and wife team.
Yeah, that's the best kind of team. Sally and Tim.
Yeah.
We need a bit
you
of paper.
You do need a bit of paper.
To do a podcast.
They wouldn't let us do it without a bit of paper, did they? The podcasting people, they're supposed to be married.
Got to be married to do a podcast. Yeah, so thank you very much to all your feedback, and thanks to all the feedback we've had over the past 100 episodes. We've got too many names to mention, but every time we get a little ding of an email or something on Facebook, it's very exciting.
Yeah.
And our Twitter followers have been going up, the Facebook likes have been going up, and the download figures have been going up recently as well. It's a good time for conversations too, but we couldn't do it without all the listeners.
No, we'd just be talking to ourselves.
We were just talking to ourselves, so we do it for you. So we hope you've enjoyed this 100th episode. And that's it for another week.
That's it for the 100th episode.
That is it. We'll be back to normal next week with episode 101.
Ooh, are we going to do it like that, or are you going to do it 100?
We'll discuss that.
We'll talk about naming conventions later.
So if you'd like to email us about anything at all to do with Coronation Street or Conversation Street, you can get in touch at conversationstreet@gmail.com or contact us on our blog at conversationstreet.podbean.com. Give us a review on iTunes if you'd like to share your love for the podcast or dislike, but we say don't bother with that one if it's okay.
No.
Follow us on Twitter. We're at Conversation Stuart if you haven't followed us already. And you can follow all our guests from today on Twitter as well. Hopefully they'll appreciate your support or your likes or your follows. And we are on Facebook as well. Search for Conversation Street and you can find us there. So that is it. We're now into triple figures officially. And we're going to keep on going. It's been a great episode. Very much enjoyed doing it. And I hope you've all enjoyed listening to it too. So thanks very much for joining us. And see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.